the church world, amen, there's something wrong, praise God. There's something wrong. There's faith. You got to have faith to believe there's a God. Amen, but praise God, it takes, amen, something called saving faith. Amen, to receive that God as your Lord and Savior and to love Him above anything else that's in this world, praise God. And I think that's what's lacking in the church, amen. People, amen, have an intellectual faith, but not a saving faith. They have a head knowledge type faith, but not a faith in the heart where they actually love God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their strength. Amen. The church needs, amen, the saving faith. Praise God, just not a head knowledge. Amen. Just think about what James said. This is what he was combating when he wrote in James 2 and verse 14. He said, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Praise God. Amen. He was dealing, amen, with it in the first century church. Amen. People was believing that because they assented to the doctrines of Christ, they acknowledged that they believed that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe He died on the cross. They believe He rose again. They believed these things. They said they were saved even though their life didn't demonstrate that they were saved. Their life never changed. They never became obedient to the gospel. But they're saying, "We're saved. We're saved because we believed this. In our minds, we believe the doctrines." And that's what's happened in the fundamental churches today. They'll ask you, "Do you know you're a sinner?" Yes. "Do you believe Jesus died on the cross?" Yes. "Do you believe He rose again?" Yes. "Well, you're saved. You believe them things." Amen. That don't make you saved because you believe them facts. Praise God. That faith, amen, has to take a hold of that, of Christ. Believe it, but receive it. Amen. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Amen. And He's asking, the church asking these people, can that faith that doesn't produce works save you, praise God? And the answer is no. Faith saves you. I mean, grace through faith saves you, but you're saved unto good works, praise God. It's a faith that worketh by love, is what the apostle said, amen. It's a faith, amen, that changes you. It's a faith that causes you to do that which is good and that which is right. Amen. James didn't contradict Paul. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost speaking through James. It was the Holy Ghost speaking through Paul. Praise God. It's in perfect agreement. Amen. We're saved by faith, but once you're saved, that faith is going to work. Amen. So he asked the question, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Can that faith without works save him? You know what the answer is? It's no. No. Verse 19, he tells you, "Thou believest that there's one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Praise God. I mean, if you just believe, but there's no works. I mean, that's the faith of devils. Think about Satan. Satan's orthodox. He knows who Jesus Christ is. The demons know who Jesus Christ is. They say, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." I mean, they know. I mean, the devil was there when they arrested Jesus. He was in Judas when they kissed him. The devil was there. The devil, praise God, was in the crowd that was saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." The devil was there when Jesus' hands was nailed to that old rugged cross. He was in them soldiers that spit in Jesus' face. He was there when the Son of God bore the sins of the whole world and died upon the cross for us. Amen. The devil was there when they put the stone over the tomb and sealed it. The devil was there. Amen. The devil was there that Sunday morning when the stone was rolled away and the Son of God came forth with power. He saw it all, praise God. Amen. When Jesus came forth with victory, the devil saw it all. The devil knew that Jesus ascended and sat down at the right hand of God. The devil's orthodox in his doctrine, but he's lost and going to hell. Apostle says, praise God, "You believe there's one God? You believe the truth? Good." But the devil believes the truth. And the devil trembles. The devil trembles. He says, "Oh, vain man." Isn't that what he says? that believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, O vain man? He says, O foolish man, do you think that you can just believe the facts and not have it in your heart? It not change your life and you go to heaven. It's impossible. I mean, that head knowledge has to become a heart knowledge that produces a changed life and works in your life. Praise God. Amen. Jesus looked at the church, amen, in the book of Revelation. He said, I know your works. You got a name that liveth and are dead. They named the name of Christ, but they're dead. Faith without works is dead faith. It's not alive. It's not living. It's not saving, praise God. Your best works, let me make this plain, your best works that you can absolutely do without faith is worthless. If you give your body to be burnt and you ain't got faith in Christ, that's worthless. It'll profit you nothing. If you sell everything you got and you give it to the poor and you ain't got faith in Jesus Christ, it's going to profit you nothing. It means nothing in the eyes of God. Amen. You got to have faith. Amen. Before your works matter. Faith where there's no works, it's also useless. Amen. You can boast and say, I know the Bible. I've read it through 7, 8 times. You can say, I was baptized. I eat the Lord's Supper. I go to church every Sunday. I mean, you make all these professions, but if there's no works in your life of charity, of God, it's proof, praise God, that your faith is dead. Faith is the root. Faith is the root. And when it's alive, it's going to sprout. It's going to turn green. Amen. That old apple tree out there, it's going to start bearing apples. Amen. There's going to be blossoms and apples. There's life in it, praise God. If there's life in the root, amen, there's going to be fruit, praise God. Amen. If there's life in the root, there's going to be things you can see, amen. But if there's no life in that root, if that root's not alive, come springtime, there's still nothing. It's going to be bare. It's going to be dead. That's what the apostle is teaching. If your faith is real, it's going to bear fruit. If your faith is real, there are going to be works in your life. Praise God. Amen. If there's no works, it's because your faith is dead. Praise God. You know, it'd be nice if we could just ask people, are you born again? And they would give you a truthful answer. Amen. But nowadays, people don't even know what it means to be born again. Amen. And they've never experienced being born again. They've had some preacher ask them, do you know you're a sinner? Yes, Jesus died for you. Say this prayer with me. They say a little prayer and the preacher says, now you're born again. Now you're saved, you're all right. And they've never experienced, amen, God coming into their hearts and into their lives for themselves. It's a born again experience, praise God. Amen. Born of God. God comes to live and to abide in you, praise God. I mean, it's a real experience, but people, I mean, they're throwing the experience away to just a mental acknowledgement of the facts. I thought we need evidence of faith. I mean, we need evidence that our faith is real. Not just saying I have faith. Like James said, you say you have faith? Show me your faith. I'll show you my faith by my work. There should be evidences in our lives that our faith is real. Amen. And we should be able to look at this evidence and say, God, I'm saved. God, I know, amen, my faith is real because I have the evidence of it, praise God. Amen. These sermons like this, it's not meant to drive you away or to hurt you. If your heart is right with God, you'll see these sermons and say, I'm saved. I'm testing myself and I'm matching up. I'm saved. If you look and you say, I'm not coming up to the mark. You ain't supposed to run. You're supposed to come to God and ask for mercy. Amen. Mercy, praise God. Yeah, true. Repentance. First fruit of salvation. Yeah. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. The apostle preaches his sermon. Right after the Holy Ghost comes down, praise God. He's anointed. He preaches Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And the crowd, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do? Amen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you. Repent.
They're saying,
we believe what you said, Peter. We're pricked in our hearts. We're believing what you said. What should we do, Peter? Peter says, do you repent? Yeah. Number one, repent. Praise God. True faith comes with repentance. Remember, where there's true repentance, there's always faith. They're twins. They're born at the same moment, at the same time, praise God. You can't separate faith from repentance. Repent. Repentance means a change of purpose. I mean, you're changing your mind, the way you think, the way you live, praise God. You make a resolve in your mind. Jesus is Lord, I believe. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm not going to serve self and sin anymore. I'm turning to Jesus Christ because I believe He's Lord and that He loves me and He died for me. And I'm going to live for Jesus Christ, praise God. That is repentance. You change the purpose of your life, amen. Praise God, you turn it to God through Christ. You turn your back upon your old life and you begin to live for God. And it's immediate. Repentance is immediate, praise God. I mean, the Thessalonians, when they believed the preaching of the apostle, they turned from their worship of idols to serve the true and the living God right then. I mean, the Ephesians, when they believed upon Jesus, I mean, through the preaching of the apostles, they took their witch books and burnt them in the streets. I mean, right then. I mean, the drunkard turns from his drinking then. I mean, the drug addict turns from his dope then. I mean, there's a change, there's a turning, praise God, then. Now, I know we ain't perfect yet. I know there's a sanctification process going to take place. But your life is going to experience a major turn. Amen. From sin to God. And your purpose is going to become right then to serve God because He's Lord over your life. Amen. They got to be repentance in your life. Amen. Lord, they don't even preach repentance no more. You know what they say repentance is now? Being sorry that you sinned. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Amen. It's not repentance, but He'll cause you to repent. Repentance is the change of mind, turning your life to a new purpose. Praise the Lamb of God. Repentance. Number one, we should have that in our life. We should see that plainly in our life. I have turned from my old life to God. My purpose is to serve God. I mean, we should be able to see that plainly in our life. I want to serve God. Amen. I want to live for God, not in sin any longer. Secondly, true faith will always produce obedience. Verse 41 says, they gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Those that received the word, it's pricked in the heart. I don't know how many got pricked. How many asked? But when He told them what to do, repent and be baptized. Those that received the word, then that truly had faith in the word, praise God, they received it. They obeyed the word of God. And they were baptized, praise God. You know, the apostles only believed those who were obedient to the commands of Christ was Christian. If He would have said, repent and be baptized, and they said, I believe they ain't going to be baptized, the apostles would have said, they're infidels. They're unbelievers. They're refusing to be baptized. They're refusing to obey Jesus. They're infidels. They're in unbelief. It's that simple. True faith, when you receive it, you will obey God. But praise God, those that's disobedient, they can, amen, but they won't. Praise God, it shows that they're in a state of unbelief. Praise God, obedience, amen. Obedience is a fruit, praise God, of living faith. They received the word, they believed the word, and they obeyed. Abraham, friend of God, the Bible says. Amen, a man of faith. Paul exalted him as an example, praise God, of righteousness by faith. He believed God and it was imputed unto him as righteousness, Paul said. But did you know in Hebrews chapter 11, when he begins to preach about Abraham, he says, Abraham obeyed God, and he went into a country he'd never been before. He obeyed God. When he spoke about Noah, it says, he moved with fear and prepared an ark. Amen. Obedience. Faith and obedience, praise God. They go together. Abraham had faith, and it showed in his obedience. In his obedience, he offered up Isaac, his only begotten son. That's true faith. In the book of Hebrews, if you get a concordance, where it says disobedience and sometimes unbelief, in chapters 3, chapters 4, same word. Unbelief and disobedience is the same thing to God. If you're disobeying, you're in unbelief. It's the same word, same meaning, praise God. If your walk is a walk of unbelief, praise God, you're going to walk in sin. Disobedience is a fruit of your unbelief. If you're truly trusting God, you're going to walk in obedience. Abraham was a friend of God. Amen. The question is, are we a friend of Christ? Jesus said, no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has showed himself friendly to you. Amen. Jesus has showed himself to be a friend to me. But how do we show ourselves to be friends to him? He said, if you are my friends, you'll do whatsoever I command you. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, praise God. Obedience to the commands of Christ is the only means by which we can declare and show our love to God. If I'm going to live in disobedience, amen, I can't show my love to God. Amen, my praise has to be based, praise God, on me loving God and obeying and serving Him. Then the lifting up of holy hands, praise God, will matter. Praise God, your love for God is seen in your obedience to Him. Amen, because we love you, Lord, I obey you. He said, if you don't keep my word, you don't love me. Faith worketh by love. You can read it in Galatians 5 if you want to. It says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. This is what avails. This is what matters. Faith that worketh by love. True faith brings salvation. True salvation will cause you to work. Works of obedience to God, but there's more. Jesus said the greatest commandments is to love God, right? With all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself is the second commandment. He said, upon these two, all the law and the prophets hang. Love God and love your neighbor. Through faith, amen, will cause you to do works of charity. It's going to be in your life. James said in chapter 2, he said, if you see a brother or a sister be naked or destitute of daily food, you say, oh, go be blessed, but you don't do nothing to help them. What does that profit? It's false, ain't it? It's a word religion, a mouth religion, but it's not true religion. The Bible says, if you see a brother that have need, and you shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? If you see them in need, and you shut up their bowels of compassion, you won't help them. How dwells the love of God in you? Faith that worketh by love. You clothe your brother when they're naked. You'll feed your sister when she's hungry. Love of God will constrain you. But Jesus said there's going to come a day. He said he's going to gather the nations. He's going to put a sheep on one hand. And he's going to tell others, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. He says to them, if you remember what he says, he said, I was hungry. You gave me no meat. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. I was naked and you clothed me not. I was sick and I was in prison. And you visited me not. He said, that's why you're cursed into everlasting fire. They said, when did we see you like this, Lord? He said, when you done it to the least of these, my brethren. You done it to me. And they went away into everlasting punishment. You know, clothing people don't get you saved. Amen. But when you're saved, you want to see people clothed. When you're saved, you want to see people fed. Praise God, you have a love for your brethren. I tell you what, you'll do without sometimes. Just so you can help somebody else. And Jesus looks at these people. They're calling him Lord. Lord, when did we see you this way? They had enough faith to say Lord, but not enough faith to work by love. You see the difference. If they had the true faith, amen, when they seen that brother in need, they would have took care of that brother. When they seen that sister sick, they would have went and helped her. This is how all men shall know you're my disciples. You have love one for another. Not just I love you with the mouth, but I love you with my life. Their lack of compassion was the evidence that they didn't have saving faith. Praise God, it's proof, amen, that their faith in God wasn't right. 1 John chapter 3.
Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. There's your mark. Those that truly have the faith, that truly have the hope, they're earnest in their efforts of purification and holiness. They're earnest. Amen. They're effectual in it, praise God. They put forth an effort that works. They endear in it, praise God. There's people, amen, that begin this way and begin to sanctify themselves from the world, but they give up. That's not the saving faith. You got to endure to the end. But saving faith, in this hope we have, amen, you will purify yourself even as He is pure, praise God. Your one goal is to resemble Jesus, to look like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, praise God, to resemble Jesus, to separate from the filth of the world, praise God, from sin. I mean, to be separate unto God and to live for God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, praise God. Amen, that's the mark. We will strive, church, to be holy. We will strive to be holy. I want to be like Christ. And God, amen, He has predestinated us to be conformed, amen, to the image of His Son. Luke chapter 18, another evidence of true faith. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Praise God. So this parable is to teach you and me that we should pray always and not faint in prayer. And then, praise God, in verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Now, in context, what God is looking for is a praying people. Yeah. Amen? A praying people. Will I find faith when I come back, Jesus says. He's going to come back, and He's looking for people that's endearing and persevering in prayer, praise God. They're not giving up praying. Amen. They're still praying, calling upon God. Amen. That's a mark that you have faith, praise God, in Jesus Christ. You know, you don't have to have saving faith to pray. There's sinners that pray when they need something. But the faith that keeps praying, amen, that's true faith. That keeps on praying. Keeps on calling. Keeps on knocking. Praise God. How many years have you been praying for your lost people? Praise God, our son, I've been praying for almost 13 years that God saves. Still knocking, God save them, have mercy upon them. Still praying. Praise the Lamb of God, God save them. Amen, I got faith that He's going to, amen. But I'm not going to stop doing my part. I'm going to still knock, amen. Praise God, I'm going to still knock, amen. Till I get that answer, praise God. Are you still praying, praise God? That's the faith, amen. Amen, when He comes back, that's what He's looking for. As people say, I'm a Christian, but they don't pray. Amen. They're not God's people. Amen. The Bible says, everyone that is godly, pray unto thee in time when thou can be found. Everyone that's godly is going to pray unto the Lord. God's people are a praying people. Those that don't pray, they're not God's people. We got to be a praying people. Christians pray. It's a mark of your faith. If you don't pray, where's your faith? Where's your life? John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. True faith. It's not seen in absolute perfection. If you go look for a perfect man in word and deed, absolutely perfect, you're not going to find him on this earth. True faith is seen in your walk in the light, praise God, with Jesus Christ. That walk in the light, there's a gravity about sin, importance about keeping your heart clean before God. I mean, if a sin comes in, if a sin gets in your life, you do something that's wrong, praise God, there's something, amen, there's a gravity about it. You're concerned about it. The Holy Ghost grieves in you. Your heart condemns you. God frowns on you. And you cannot be satisfied, you cannot be content, you cannot have peace till you run to God and confess that sin to God and let Him cleanse you from that sin. There's a fear of God, a good fear of God. There's also, praise God, something where you see sin through the lens of the cross. Where when you sin, you realize in your mind, in your heart, that Jesus had to pay for that sin. That when He was up on that cross, there was agony over that one sin that you just did.
Amen. He had to shed his blood for that sin. He suffered for that sin. He had to cry out to God because of that sin. And when you see that, when you realize, I just hurt my Lord. I just hurt my Lord. There's a sorrow. Amen. A godly sorrow over that sin. And not only to praise God, do you confess it for forgiveness, but for cleansing. Amen. Dead faith lightly esteems sin. Somebody that says they're a Christian, but they don't have saving faith, they can sin and sin and sin, and it doesn't bother them. They're not burdened about it, praise God, unless somebody catches them. A Christian does what's right because they don't want to sin against God. A dead faith lightly esteems sin. It can bear sin. It can bear with sin. And if they do confess their sin, you know, there's a lot of church people go to confession every week. Church people. But they don't want to be saved from that sin. They just want to be forgiven of that sin. Oh, I got drunk this week. They go get drunk next week. They don't want to be saved from that power of sin. Just forgiven where they can go to heaven. That's false faith. That's not saving faith, praise God. He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy, praise the name of God. Confession and forsaking of sin, that's the mark, praise God, of true faith. King David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And not just forgive me, God, but fix my heart. Fix my heart. Don't let me do it again. That's the mark of true faith. That's the mark of true faith, praise God. You know, you can preach a sermon like that, and people say, they get convicted, and they say, I got to start working more. I got to start visiting more. I need to start praying more. I need to stop doing this and that. We need to realize what's wrong. You're just trying to deal with the bad fruit. Go to the root. Go to the root. There's a reason why these things are wrong in your life. It's your faith. It's your faith. You got to deal with that. You go to God. Repent. Ask for the true faith. Too many people trying to fix their works up when the problem is here, inside. And you just got to go to God and have a talk with Jesus. Praise God, until that gets right in there. Until that peace of God gets in there. Praise God, the love of God gets in there. And you'll become obedient to God. And the joy of salvation will be in your life.